Purdue Pharma, the maker of the addictive pain-killing drug OxyContin, believed Beacon Hill lawmakers could make or break their profits. The state attorney general's ongoing lawsuit against Purdue and the family behind it, the Sacklers, give a window into how they allegedly manipulated legislation. Attorney General Moore Healey alleges the Sacklers and Purdue bragged about killing bills and writing a law to increase sales. WBUR's Christine Wilmson has been examining the company's influence and power on Beacon Hill and has this report this morning.
Former Representative Robert Fennell remembers a firefighter who always stopped to eat at his diner in Lynn. One morning he came in with his daughter and sat at one of the small tables.
It was the first time he actually saw his daughter in a couple of months, and they had a wonderful breakfast, and I was over there, we were talking.
It was about 2007, and she was in recovery from opioid abuse.
She seemed like she was doing good. 2 days later, she died of an overdose.
After that, Fennell wanted to make OxyContin illegal, just like heroin. He introduced the legislation several times. They never passed.
At that time, people were trying to say it was just new. I mean, you had some overdoses and whatever, but it was starting to become an epidemic, and I was trying to be ahead of the curve.
Recently unredacted documents in the Attorney General's lawsuit against Purdue and a WBUR analysis of data show Fennell faced a formidable foe behind the scenes. Records from the Secretary of the Commonwealth show Purdue paid lobbyists $886,000 over the past 15 years to protect their drugs. Their lobbyists gave money to local campaigns hundreds of times. Fennell tried to ban OxyContin again in 2013. The Attorney General alleges an internal report shows Purdue focused on ways to kill his legislation. Purdue acknowledges they fought policies to limit the drug's use. Fennell had no idea until I told him.
This is the first that I heard of that. I was never approached by Purdue Pharma or any of their lobbyists concerning my piece of legislation. If they killed it without me knowing about it.
At that point, these kids were on this drug and they were dying.
That's former Senator Stephen Tolman, now president of the Massachusetts AFL-CIO. He also tried to restrict OxyContin, and his bill also went nowhere. He says Purdue had too much power.
When you have a lot of money, you can buy the lobbyists and you can convince people.
He recalls meetings with Purdue representatives who tried to convince him.
They used to come and they'd bring all their lawyers and they'd be cute and, oh, this is medically necessary. And they'd stand like they were saving people's lives. And the only people that were getting in trouble were those who were misusing it.
Even the Sacklers themselves kept tabs on legislation. Attorney General Healey alleges Richard Sackler, a board member, alerted staff that Massachusetts wanted to limit how long someone could take OxyContin. Staff promised a strategy to defeat it. Healey says it's one example of Purdue's reach in Massachusetts.
Companies are allowed to lobby. The focus of my office, however, is to show the extent to which Purdue and individuals who we named in the complaint were attempting to influence or impact sales and business.
Purdue hired local lobbyists Michelle McGee and Charles Stefanini. Stefanini reported to the state in 2013 alone, he tracked 112 bills for Purdue. Since 2002, Purdue associates gave legislators, political groups, and causes at least $410,000 based on a WBUR analysis of state campaign finance data. The donations came from lobbyists, their spouses, Purdue executives, and the Sacklers themselves. That may not seem like a large amount, but Massachusetts lobbyists can only give $200 per politician. Purdue representatives and their lobbyists gave money more than 1,500 times while working for the company. Robert Josephson, a Purdue spokesman, says the company didn't direct lobbyists to donate to policymakers.
They're not just our lobbyists. They represent a number of other companies, and I would say you would have to ask them what their motivations are.
Neither McGee nor Stefanini would discuss their work with Purdue. McGee says her contributions are personal. Stefanini says he gives money to elected officials he works with.
To suggest campaign contributions are related to one specific entity is just patently false.
Records show Tolman, who was trying to restrict the company's drug, received $1,600.
Wait, I don't know. Did I get money from them?
Yes.
Did I? You checked that? I did, huh? Mm-hmm. Ooh.
The lobbyist also gave money 8 out of the last 10 years to the leaders of the joint committee that deals with substance abuse.
Money doesn't buy political outcomes, but it does buy access.
That's Pam Wilmont, executive director of Common Cause Massachusetts, a nonpartisan democracy group.
Was the decision because they made the best case, or was the decision made because they gave the most contributions?
Purdue modified its OxyContin in 2010 to make it harder to crush and snort. 3 years later, they promoted this new abuse deterrent formula to legislators and claimed it would prevent overdoses. But the AG says their new product did nothing to prevent the most common cause of abuse, swallowing the pills. Senator John Kenan and other legislators introduced similar bills that require pharmacists fill opioid prescriptions with the abuse deterrent formula. He says Purdue representatives never contacted him, but he knew their motivations.
We were aware of them trying to get the patent that would allow them to be the only ones offering an abuse deterrent formulation. They may have looked at it as, oh, that's beneficial because they maybe have the market cornered, but we were looking at saving lives.
Attorney General Healy alleges internal emails reveal Purdue took credit for writing parts of the legislation.
That was an example of Purdue's efforts to further sell and market its opioid products. While they were labeled abuse deterrent, they actually potentially had the impact of even more doses.
The bill passed unanimously. Purdue claimed it was the first in the country. In court documents, the Sacklers state they played no role in swaying legislation. Josephson with Purdue says the company had no financial motivation to push the law and that Purdue made a positive impact in Massachusetts.
Not all of the effort was to look at, you know, as you put, killing legislation, but also looking to help move legislation forward that would help address the opioid crisis.
For Senator Kenan, he now sees Purdue through a new lens.
Reading the complaint and knowing now that as we were doing things, they were watching, there's a David versus Goliath thing to that. And we were David, and it was interesting to learn how much Goliath was watching what we were doing.
There are more than 1,600 lawsuits against Purdue. It settled one of those in Oklahoma for $270 million. The company states bankruptcy is an option. Healy says that will not derail her case. Purdue is seeking a dismissal. Both sides are expected in court in the next few weeks. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Christine Wilmson.